You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Some places will be able to think about opening on May 1st. Most of the country will not, to be honest with you, but some will, and will. That's how we'll reopen the country, place by place, bit by bit, based on the data.
Dr. Jerome Adams, our Surgeon General. This is April 10th, 2020, Good Friday. We're in the midst of biggest religious holidays for Jews and Christians, and our quarantine rules continue. For the Jewish religion, of course, celebrating Passover, which started April the 8th. And Sunday is Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. And we still have quarantine effects across the nation. Self-quarantine, your personal distance spacing, mask, gloves, separation, businesses closed, folks hurting economically at this point, hoping they can get a job back or at least have a place to go at some point. Is not going to end immediately. As you heard Dr. Adams say, it's possible that, yes, we can start doing it in stages, but timetable is the key. And as I said, we're going into this high holiday for Christians for Sunday, Easter. Christ is risen. And at the same time, some graphic images coming out of New York City. Aerial images capturing 40 caskets lined up for burial at Hart Island. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo had reported almost 800 new deaths across his state Thursday. And just yesterday, 40 caskets lined up for burial. These are folks who cannot afford a funeral or they can't determine relatives at this point. And they're using mass graves for those dying of COVID-19 or certainly suspected of it at this point. Where are we on our numbers? Worldwide infections, 1.6 million. Worldwide deaths, 98,000. U.S. infections confirmed, 470,000. U.S. deaths confirmed COVID, 17,000. But again, I caution you, that number, when I say confirmed, is not necessarily confirmed. Coroners have made it clear that they have to have the same corona COVID-19 test to give to the dead as a living to determine if COVID-19 was the cause. And they don't have enough tests for the living at this point, or at least trying to make sure they have them for the living and our first responders. So they're not spending them at this time on the deceased. But if they came in, they seem to have the underlying conditions. They seem to have everything related to COVID-19. It's being labeled a COVID-19 death. And of course, the libs attacks continue against President Trump, the administration, and what they say we did do right, we did do wrong, we haven't done yet, so forth and so on. I'm going to remind you, there was a time that Dr. Fauci said, I'll get to it a little bit later in the next 2 hours, that Dr. Fauci said, we don't need to worry about this. It's not going to be that big a deal from what we've seen so far. That's the key point from what we've seen so far. And that was based in large part upon what China was telling the World Health Organization and what the World Health Organization was in telling us and the world. Yesterday, I played an extensive list of Democrats saying, oh, you don't need to worry about this. This is nothing more than flu. Come join us, Chinese food in San Francisco. So said Nancy Pelosi. All of us have been caught off guard as to how big this was, how big it was going to get, and yet in the midst of all this now, we have our nation basically shut down, and I continue to hear folks say, more people die of heart disease and car wrecks and everything else. Well, you didn't shut the nation down for that. The difference is this disease and how fast it travels. But have we still gone too fast too soon? So we get into more of this on the lib attacks, including there is no longer an attempt by news anchors to even act as if they're not biased. James Herson will join us from Hollywood dealing with quarantine rules and the conspiracy theory that's circulating on the internet. This is going to drive home questions about the virus. Accident? Man-made? A Chinese terrorist attack? We've got a lot to cover for you, my friends, for the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Have them join us. It's all coming up right here. Over the next 2 hours, we'll touch on all of these subjects for you. Settle back. Get ready. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Yesterday, Wuhan reported no new cases for the first time since the outbreak started. Wuhan provides hope for the rest of the world that even the most severe situation can be turned around.
That's the UN Secretary General 6 weeks after China initially reported the COVID virus, coronavirus, China virus, because it originated in China. And he said 6 weeks after that, according to the World Health Organization, citing China, they've turned it around and they have shown what they can do. They can be a leader. They have been a leader in dealing with this. When that lockdown ended, within hours of China lifting the 11-week lockdown of the central city of Wuhan, 65,000 left that city by train and plane, just by those two modes, not transportation that might have been personal or buses, things of that nature, but by train and plane, 65,000 folks got out of Wuhan. As highways, bridges, and tunnels also opened, allowing more to exit by car, bus, whatever. Whatever they could do to get out. So many of them immediately left the epicenter of the global pandemic. And of course then, as we began to see it spread, then suddenly they start saying, well, if you come in, you're going to have to be in special quarantine. And then, of course, at that point, President Trump said, we're not going to allow them to come direct to the U.S. No U.S. flights. But for a period of time, we bought the story of the UN Secretary General that China had it under control. Everything was good. We bought the story. We didn't have conflicting information while we're still digging for it. We take the story direct from the UN Secretary General of the World Health Organization. that's supposed to be looking out for the entire world. And all they were doing was parroting what China told them. And possibly knowing that they had no independent confirmation themselves. To my knowledge, they never said they have independently confirmed anything. They just simply said, China tells us. And even on January 21, as this information began to come out, and the concern about, well, could it spread? Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, of course, one of the top advisors for the Trump administration, he was asked, should we need to worry about this? He said, obviously, you need to take it seriously and do all the kinds of things that the CDC and the Department of Homeland Security are doing. But this is not a major threat for the people of the United States. I'll repeat again for you. He said, this is not a major threat for the people of the United States. January 21. This is not something that citizens of the U.S. right now should be worried about. Again, that's January 21. They were basing on what they knew at that point in the first couple of weeks, 3 weeks of January, and what we were hearing from China. And when you get this U.N. Secretary General saying, China's done a great job containing this. And now look where we are now. The U.S. is now the epicenter of the pandemic. Our count again, as I mentioned a moment ago, go back to those numbers for you again. In the U.S. right now, we have 470,000 confirmed infections. 17,000 deaths COVID-related, or at least we're told they're related. 12,000 of those 17,000 are in New York State. And there lies a question as to how did New York State get hit so hard? But at the time, we were all saying it's not going to be that bad. That's what we were told. Well, we bought the story. And then we began to realize, no, they do not have control of this thing, and this thing is a lot worse than what we thought. It's not going to be just the standard flu. And that's when Dr. Fauci and others started ramping up and saying, we got to do something, we got to do it very quickly. And that's when President Trump then initiated, stop the airlines coming in from China, stop the Chinese from arriving unless they're going under quarantine and being checked. And then, of course, then we came to basically shutting down the nation. And Dr. Jerome Adams again on what we were trying to do, what we were trying to do in the efforts of closing down. Because here's the key. A lot of folks want to pass over this very quickly. The question being shutting down these cities. Why do it with this?
We don't close down cities for measles or tuberculosis, even though they're both highly contagious. What we do is we figure out who's got the disease, we understand which communities are having outbreaks, and we quickly put resources into those communities to be able to quell those outbreaks.
So the difference again between this and measles. We have not shut down the quarantine in the entire nation, shut them down, everybody keep your social distancing and everything. You just kind of in your own community, you know, and if there's a kid in the class, word goes out, all this stuff. When we have prior other flus, we're told to kind of, you know, maybe you don't want to have those big parties, or folks go to a big party and suddenly come home sick, they got the flu. But this, and the way it's attacking, apparently the lungs and the heart, that it's extremely dangerous if you get it, particularly if you're compromised whatsoever. But now, to balance that, because I want to make sure you don't go into, it's a delicate line every time we start down this story. To make sure you got the facts, but no one's panicking, and you understand the reality. Do you know, let me ask that specifically, do you know anyone that has COVID-19 or has been diagnosed as such? A week ago, I would have said I know one. Now I know about maybe half a dozen directly. And then maybe another dozen indirectly that I've heard that have it. So not everyone has it. Not everyone's going to get it. And then we've also been told that many of us might be carrying it and not know it. And it may end up infecting us, or maybe we just carry it. We never do develop anything. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson said, something else to keep in mind, he said, the number of those who recover from it. He said 98% of those who get it recover. Well, if you look at our current counts as to how many have been confirmed as infected, 470,000 and 17,000 deaths, if all of those are related to COVID, then obviously that's a very small percentage. Not even 20%. Doesn't mean anything to those who are suffering and who have families caught up in it. The key again now is, as we're going through this, what can we do to start reopening? Dr. Jerome Adams again.
Some places will be able to think about opening on May 1st. Most of the country will not, to be honest with you, but some will, and will. That's how we'll reopen the country, place by place, bit by bit, based on the data.
Based on the data. Which, by the way, the data is showing something very interesting when it comes to New York City. Some of the latest information, I just pulled this off. Let me pull this up here for you. This is a research of the Icahn School of Medicine of Mount Sinai. And it says the Chinese coronavirus outbreak in New York City is predominantly from Europe, not China. Even though it originated in China, most of the impact in New York City is through Europe. That is, again, why President Trump, once they began to suspect that was going on, they also shut down European flights and started making additional requirements for those coming in. We talked about this previously, that it appeared most of the cases in Washington State, which has done an excellent job of containing once they realized what they had, and along the West Coast, that most of their cases probably came direct from China. In New York City, there might have been some of that, but apparently, according to this latest survey from Mount Sinai, the New York City cases predominantly came through untracked transmission between the U.S. and Europe. They're basing this on 21 New York City neighborhoods across four boroughs, Manhattan, Bronx, Queens, and Brooklyn, and finding these came through Europe. Well, we've had the ban on Europe since March 13. We put the ban on China January 31. And we've stopped visa processing for all and most visas because we're trying to contain. What they're going to have to do at this point as we move forward is, as Dr. Adams said a moment ago, some places might be able to open sooner than others. It might be a rural area. It might be a particular business, a particular occupation. It might have to do with ages and, of course, your general health yourself. And that's why they're going to try to do test monitoring. Now, here's something the mainstream media has tried to twist again against this administration. The president said, well, I don't think we need to test monitor everybody. Well, the point is, we really can't test monitor everybody anyway. And so they're saying, well, no. Dr. Adams and others said, we got to test monitor. So now here's Trump saying we don't need to. Get the story right. He's talking about test monitoring everybody. And the bottom line is, we can't. Even the Surgeon General, Dr. Adams, said that would be impossible.
One of the things we've always tried to do is level set with people in terms of testing expectations. We want to make sure we're doing surveillance, which means 1 in 100, 1 in 50 people get tested. It is going to be a high bar to get to be able to say we're going to test 330 million people. We don't do that for any other disease, but we want to know what's going on in the community, and we want to be able to test people who are at high risk, who have symptoms, so that we can quickly follow up and contain.
That's what they'd be trying to do. Limited samples. That makes sense. You understand that. And, of course, they want to definitely make sure they can test adequately, continually, those on the front line in the hospitals that are dealing with the patients and so forth. And there have been more than one medical personnel, from nurses to doctors to just healthcare workers in some of these facilities, who have come down with COVID-19. And there have been deaths. And the World Health Organization helped this disease spread when it did not challenge China and simply took them at their word and made them, as you heard from the UN Secretary General a moment ago, say that they're doing a great job. China's doing a great job. And they had not condemned them since. Not one word from the World Health Organization condemning China for not reporting accurately. They have been silent. But except for this, they are asking something. The World Health Organization is launching an appeal for $1 billion from the U.S. to underwrite operations against the Chinese pandemic. Yeah, now they're speaking out. And what they're speaking out is, with their handout, we want some more money to deal with it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to tell you a little snippet of some things happening in New York City. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There are a couple of stories coming out of New York City I want to share with you, and that is, yesterday we had John LaBoutier on. He lives in New York City, about 20 miles from the epicenter. And he told me then, he said, yeah, people are still on the subways. They got to get to and from work. That's what they got to do. And I've been kind of following that, and I'm looking again at some of the reports that are coming by that folks are having to do that. They try to find some of the emptier cars, and they kind of look over their fellow passengers, apparently, as they try to get on as to if this one might be carrying or that one might not, or do they have a mask or might not have one. I guess that's part of the consideration. And then, well, the Centers for Disease Control is saying you should stay 6 feet apart. That's pretty tough if the trains are jammed in. They're barely able to keep 6 inches apart. And some of the video coming out of the New York subway area showing riders and trains in Brooklyn and Queens standing in cars within feet of one another, some of their faces uncovered. Of course, you got homeless people camping out on the trains. You got people reaching up, grabbing the straps, the rails, trying to hold on as the trains begin to move. That is why it's such a hotbed in New York City, and they were trying to get folks to make some good decisions about keeping their distance and staying at home the best they can. But some couldn't. And, of course, the images coming out of New York now, as I mentioned a moment ago. And we told you the other day, they were already talking about they were going to have to do this. Earlier this week, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said, we're going to have to consider mass burials. He said, we have so many dead, we cannot continue to keep them in refrigerated trucks. We need to start putting some aside, that by that, in a mass grave. They're keeping them in storage for up to 14 days. If they don't have an identification on them or some way to identify who might be responsible, then they're going into these mass graves. They said, we're trying to do it in a dignified way. That's not what they wanted. But when they got 10 to 12 at a time they're burying, it's a mass grave. Of course, they've identified the best they can, pulled DNA, have information on file, and I assume, that they're properly documenting where each body went as to where inside that mass grave, in case in the future they have a reason to find out what's going on. I've got later in this hour a, quote, conspiracy theory that's circulating on the internet. You might have seen it, but I want to share it and break it down just in case you haven't. And I'm only doing this because on one hand, it's one of these things that's going around, and if it's out there, we might as well discuss it. It's nothing I'm creating and I'm pushing. But it raises some serious questions in the minds of many. Was this just an accident out of China? Was this possibly a Chinese terrorist act against the world targeting the U.S.? We'll get into that before the hour's out. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Fred Flights, CEO and president of Center for Security Policy, and some other things involving China and this virus that need reexamining. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We have with us Fred Flights, President, CEO of the Center for Security Policy, former Chief of Staff to the NSA, John Bolton, 25 years national security experience, CIA, DEA, Department of State, House Intel Committee staff, and more. Fred, welcome back, sir.
Good to be here, Larry.
Good to have you with us. I've got several things I want to go through with you. One, I want to jump to immediately is a piece you published in Yahoo Finance a couple of days ago saying that the president is exactly right in criticizing the World Health Organization. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the World Health Organization is supposed to be an international entity that's objective and defends us against global health risks, but we now know that it put out Chinese deceptions and propaganda for almost 6 weeks. And Larry, if that hadn't happened, I don't think we'd be facing that pandemic in the United States right now. You know, we expect authoritarian communist governments to lie to us. I'm not saying it can be forgiven. But when the World Health Organization that's supposed to be protecting us from pandemics is lying about the seriousness of a vicious virus, there's a big problem.
Before we came to you earlier in the program, I was running some clips from the World Health Organization's General Secretary, talking about you know, how great China's done and basically praising. This would have been 6 weeks after the outbreak was reported, acting as if it's all contained, and at that point still lying to us. And that was in advance of us in January 31 shutting down the flights and so forth from China. I mean, they were lying. Well, let me correct it. Do you agree, I think, that they were directly and knowingly lying, or they just didn't bother inquiring, or they couldn't inquire and just accepted the Chinese at their word?
I think the Director General Tedros was lying. He was elected with the support of the Chinese. He said in mid-January what the Chinese said, that this virus couldn't be transmitted human to human. The week of the 20th of January, his staff wanted to declare this global health emergency, and Tedros wouldn't. And I might add, this guy isn't even a medical doctor. He has a PhD in community health, the first one in this organization's 112-year history. It goes back to the League of Nations. He has no business being there. And I'm very happy there's a lot of congressmen and senators saying this guy has to resign.
You know what he is asking for now, though? I just came out. You might have already seen it, that he's now coming forward and saying we need $1 billion U.S. dollars to underwrite our operations to deal with this pandemic.
These U.N. organizations have a habit of doing this. Each region thinks they have to have a turn to head it. The Russians and other nations and Chinese, they take fiefdoms within these bureaucracies. I think there's huge waste and corruption. They didn't deal well with Ebola, and I don't think they're getting any extra funds from the U.S.
So
if any funds at all, we may cut them off.
Yeah, and to that extent, by the way, very quickly, since you brought that up, when President Trump starts suggesting that, the first reaction from Tedros of the U.N. Secretary General was, you're going to have more body bags. How do you take that?
I was dumbfounded that he would say that. Is he threatening us?
That's what it sounded like to me.
It was just a point. Look, the majority of the Earth's population knows China was behind this, and they know the World Health Organization dropped the ball. You think they're mad at the United States? Think how mad they are in the UK, and they're very angry at the World Health Organization and China, in Britain, and in Australia. I don't think Tedros's position in the World Health Organization is tenable. But right now, we got to fight this virus. I agree with people who say, let's settle scores later. But I want to make sure this guy's held accountable.
Well, to that point again, I mean, I've not heard the World Health Organization come forward and chastise China for obviously holding back what we all know now. And what I have not heard from any of the mainstream media, the leftists, attacking the World Health Organization for its part in this and the fact that it's headed up by a guy who is a non-medical doctor. But if you had Trump getting up on stage talking about that this hydrochloroquine could help, I don't know, might not, but it's worth a try, they come after him like, you're not a doctor, what are you prescribing? I don't hear the complaining about the World Health Organization leader.
And Tedros wouldn't chastise China, but he was very quick to chastise the president when he cut off flights from China to the United States, saying that that wouldn't be effective and it would be wrong to ostracize or engage in an act of racism against the Chinese just because the virus exists there, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
So in the midst of all this, what we also do have is from the leftists is looking for another way. Well, we got to investigate. We need Adam Schiff coming forward and saying we need another investigation because of the way Trump has handled this. And that's I know what you and I were going to talk about originally, and it had to deal with a letter that the chairman of the House Intel Committee sent to the acting director of National Intelligence, Richard Grenell.
Well, and they want a 9/11 light commission. And in the perfect world, that would be a great idea to have a blue ribbon commission with independent experts to look at how the U.S. government handled this, but we don't live in that kind of world. And the only reason the Democrats want this panel, I might add, they also wanted one to investigate Russian meddling in the U.S. presidential election in 2016. Just want another way to attack the president and dress it up as if it is an objective panel. And it looks pretty clear that Republicans in Congress are dead set against this.
But the other part of this story is Adam Schiff sent his letter to the media before Grenell saw it.
Well,
sent it leaked. Let me put it that way. Just kind of got out the door by mistake.
Yeah, that instance. That instance concerns the dismissal of the intelligence inspector general. That I've written two separate pieces, Larry.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry.
I misunderstood your question.
That was my fault.
That's right. It's understandable the intelligence committees would like to know when an intelligence official is making major changes. But Schiff sent this very strong letter attacking Grinnell to Grinnell, but he first sent it to the media. Schiff learned about it Grinnell learned about it in the news media. And I just think this is par for the course for the way Schiff handles intelligence oversight. It's all about scoring points in the press to hurt Trump.
Yeah, and I don't see them easing up. And folks, for the audience, I'm going to be getting into that in more detail in the second hour again, how these the attacks continue. There's something else that's surfacing that I found interesting. Japan is now paying firms to leave China to relocate production elsewhere. They're getting something like $2 billion of the economic stimulus package to help companies move production away from China. Brexit Party leader is now warning that Chinese interests are lining up to take advantage of by buying vast swaths of strategic manufacturing industries. In other words, companies coming out of China, others rushing in because China's buying them and taking them over and bringing them in. This the ripple effect for what we're having here, I see going decades down the road.
I think it's going to have a significant effect. We really need to think about what our relationship will be with China after the virus crisis. We have to have a supply chain that is not reliant on China for crucial technologies, for pharmaceuticals, and you saw the reports how we are very dependent on China for crucial pharmaceuticals. This has to be completely rethought. And, I mean, the Chinese government has shown something we've always known, but we really cannot trust it. And if we can't trust the Chinese to be frank with us about a deadly pandemic, and they're still not being honest, they're still not giving samples of what they found, I think we have to take significant measures to defend their security. We haven't taken before about China.
Well, I also see them acting like the Democrat philosophy is, Ron Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste. But if the Brexit Party leader is correct that they have a lot of British industries that are on the ropes now because of this, and China's coming in saying, hey, we'll buy that, and we're going to move it right into China, what kind of production Britain's going to lose, other countries around the world, and while they continue to tap into our markets.
I suspect that we're going to be working with our Western allies to talk about the problem China's posing to global trade and to international security. I don't know what the solution is to that. And I know that the president is trying not to start a new trade war with China over this. Right now, he's trying to play nice and trying to cooperate. But I think there's going to be a reckoning. Congress is going to demand it.
All right. Fred, I certainly want to thank you. And folks, I did kind of twist things around a moment ago. Fred, thanks for clarifying, because there were a couple of stories involving Adam Schiff, and I kind of got them mixed up in my pile here. But I want to wish you and yours a happy Easter and Passover, and hopefully at the other end of this tunnel we'll see a bright light and things will be much better for us.
Likewise. Happy Easter. Stay well, Larry.
You too. Thanks very much. Fred Flights, CEO, President of the Center for Security Policy. We'll take a break. When we come back, as I mentioned, there's a conspiracy theory that's been hatched and going around on the Internet. And it's so easy to debunk these and just simply say, oh, come on. But when you start looking at some of the questions raised, you have to say, And the essence of it is the China virus, because it originated from China, as the president likes to say, an accident, man-made, a Chinese terrorist attack? I'll give you a few moments to consider your answer, and I'll come back with the theory in a moment.
Highway to the famous hour. I'll take you riding.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so what I'm going to share with you is a conspiracy theory that's circulating on the internet. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. But we might as well address it, because if it's out there, it's just blowing in the wind. As I pointed out to you earlier, within hours of China lifting its 11-week lockdown of Wuhan back in January, when they had decided to go ahead and, you know, they started identifying the virus, and then just recently lifting the lockdown, or shortly after that, within hours, 65,000 Chinese got out of town, train, plane, whatever they could, and then as highways and bridges were open, they went by cars and motor bus, whatever. Now, with that in mind, the distance from Wuhan to Shanghai is 521 miles. The distance to Beijing, again in China, 714 miles. Keep that in mind for a moment, because I want to give you a perspective. Do you happen to know how big Texas is? Well, I'm a native Texan. I'll tell you, it's big as hell. What I mean, Texas, we are the biggest of the biggest, the smallest of the smallest. Whatever the superlative is, we have it. You want something big, we got it bigger. You want something small, we got something smaller. Well, here's a fact of Texas, depending, again, on which source you go to. Texas is 790 miles long, 660 miles wide at the most distant points. That's according to one source. Another would say it's straight line distance from the northwest corner of the Panhandle to the Rio Grande, just below Brownsville, would be 801 miles. So 801 miles or 790 miles. Either one of those. Let's just go with 800 miles. The distance from Wuhan to Beijing, I told you, was what? 700 miles. Here's where this theory is going. The distance from Wuhan to Milan, Italy, 5,200 miles. The distance from Wuhan to New York City, 7,400 miles. So here's the point being. Beijing is closer to Wuhan than if you went from one side of Texas to the other. And the coronavirus supposedly starting in Wuhan, and they're not reporting any effects until just recently in Beijing or Shanghai. Very few. But deaths in Italy, Iran, European countries, the U.S., as the theory goes at its finest, it says, something's fishy. Something's fishy. And then it points out, when it comes to leaders of the countries, pointing out that Hollywood stars, Australia's home minister, Britain's prime minister and health minister, Spain prime minister's wife, the Canadian Prime Minister's wife, Britain's Prince Charles, and others have all contracted coronavirus. Yet not a single political leader in China, not a single military commander in China, to our knowledge. Beijing and Shanghai have been open. They never shut down at all. They did shut down Wuhan for a period of time, even to the extent that they were welding doors shut of apartment complexes where folks could not get out, even if they wanted to. Something is fishy, according to this theory. Paris is closed down, New York virtually closed, Berlin closed, Mumbai, Tokyo. Our nation is not in a full national quarantine, but on the edge of it. We're still trying to figure out when we can open up things. Major transportation shut down or depleted of passengers. Something's fishy, according again to the theory. Do you buy these kinds of things? Again, it's a kind of, because the point being, this was just a disease that just happened to get loose from one of these wet markets. And then they didn't supposedly recognize at first it could be transmitted person to person, and then once they realized it was already too late, by mistake. Or did they know what they're doing and they were working on it? I'll tell you one thing that came out of it. For once, I can agree with PETA. You know, my version of PETA is people eat tasty animals. Theirs is people against or for ethical treatment of animals. And PETA is speaking out against these wet markets in China, killing dogs and cats and so forth. I'm with China this time. I mean, I'm with PETA on this one. I have to admit I am. But did this all come out of one of those wet markets? Did it come out of a lab in China? Did it turn into a mistake? Maybe they were working on something and lost control of it, or was it intended? And in fact, when I go through the list of those who have and have not been affected the most, is something fishy to you? But again, just the distance. Beijing is 700 miles from Wuhan, and they've had very few, if any, cases reported. Might be they're hiding them. It takes you 800 miles to get across one side of Texas to the other. 700 miles from Wuhan to Beijing. And here we have coronavirus all across this nation. Something fishy? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined later in the next hour by James Herson out of Hollywood on what's happening with the Hollywood crowd. And the attack continues by the resist movement. And don't even expect journalists to ever pretend to be fair and balanced again.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.